You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. This week, Ford announced it's joining forces with four tech companies and doubling its staff in Silicon Valley. The goal, a fully self-driving vehicle by 2021. No steering wheel, no brake, no gas pedal. Randy Vicentainer directs Ford's autonomous vehicle program. He spoke to Stateside Wednesday.
We see autonomous vehicles as expanding over time. This isn't just a single event.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House is with us at Move by Ford to sign it. As you wrote in today's column, Daniel, your father's auto industry is gone and it's not coming back.
No, I got to tell you, Cynthia, I've been so impressed by particularly General Motors and Ford this year, to a lesser extent FCA, in the way they're leaning forward into this mobility game. These companies are really performing well in the traditional car and truck business, making a lot of money, selling a lot of vehicles. But at the same time, they're making some really big bets and leaning forward in the mobility space. And I think clearly trying to send a message first to Wall Street and secondly to Silicon Valley that we are not going to cede the next generation of transportation to you guys. And we're going to be a player here. And I think it's a very, very encouraging sign about the sophistication of management, its willingness to take calculated risks, and understanding that they have to do that at the same time that they do the traditional business.
And yet Wall Street shrugged after Ford made that announcement. Why?
Because I think there is some very deep skepticism among investors that anything that smacks of Detroit and autos doesn't have growth, doesn't have innovation, and has a very long history of being slow and plodding and risk-averse. And if you look at the history of the industry, that's not unfair, particularly in the last, in the last generation for sure. It's only been in the last few years as they've come out of the meltdown that these companies have shown a much more nimble approach, a much better business model with the help in part, of course, of American taxpayers during the bailout and the bankruptcy. But I think there's a lot of figurative hands on the hips kind of show me. Show us that you can do this. It's fine for you to make these bets in mobility when you're making record profits in North America. But when things get a little tougher, are you going to be able to sustain both your product portfolio, your product investment, your manufacturing, your design, at the same time that you continue to get smart in the mobility space? And so I think there's a lot of wait and see. My own view, having covered this industry really for a generation all over the world, is I've never seen them behaving this way consistently. And I think it's very encouraging. And I think people listening to the show ought to be encouraged and think, you know, we need more of this. You guys got to keep it up, because this market that we're in is not going to continue ad infinitum. It is going to slow down. It's already showing signs of slowing down,
right?
And it's going to be a little tougher going forward.
And leaning in and leaning forward, as you say, into the mobility space, that matters so much to the people who rely on these companies for wages or retirement benefits and for the supply base and, as you point out, for the economic health of Michigan.
One of the reasons I wrote that piece was number one, was, of course, Ford's announcement this week, but also was a tone I was getting in reaction to some other things I was writing. And there's a tone out there that this isn't for real, this is a joke, who's going to buy autonomous cars or semi-autonomous cars, that mobility is not real, it's not going to happen, not enough people are going to do it. And yet my daughter, who lives in Washington, is constantly moving around the city in Uber. As long as she lives there, I don't see her, unless and until she gets married and has a family, I don't see her buying a car. She doesn't need one. And, I mean, that's just one micro example. And there's an awful lot of people that are using Uber in urban spaces, and I think that's what's first going to change. It's not going to be the farmers and the contractors that buy pickups. That's not going to change right now. But it is going to be younger people that look at this and say, hey, you know what, I don't need to own a car. And we're already seeing evidence that young people in general don't feel the need like I did when I was young to get that license, to get that first car, to get a set of wheels. They have other priorities. And the car companies have to look at this stuff. And if they don't, it'll be like the same old story about Detroit. They missed the opportunity, they thought they understood, and they lose the opportunity going forward. And I think the fact that they're doing this is really smart.
And Silicon Valley is right there ready to be part of that. So as you say, this is the year Detroit digs in and says, we're not giving in to this mobility game to Silicon Valley.
That's right. Whatever the social justice piousness that comes from entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley, the reality is they are cutthroat capitalists. And they are looking at Detroit and the automotive space as a really a trifecta: profitability, growth, and opportunity. And that's how they've become Silicon Valley. And they're looking at this opportunity here, and they're going to go after it. And I think these guys here in Detroit, and frankly in other parts of the world in the global industry, are trying to answer that challenge.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes with us via Skype. As always, Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you.